Hello, my Christian friends. This is your teacher, C. Ernest Tatham, and we're very happy to be together again today. Now, we've come to lesson number 7 in our textbook, and the title of today's lesson is The Way of Salvation. As you looked over this lesson in preparation for today's session, I think that you may have been impressed by the generous sprinkling of Bible texts that it contains. There are quite a number of them here, I notice. For example, right at the beginning we have Romans 6:23, and then a little farther down, Romans 5:1, followed by Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Then there's a reference in John 14, verse 6, and another one in Hebrews 11 and 6, and so on. Now, under the direction of your class leader, you may like to look up each one in turn and examine each text to see exactly what it says. You know, there's no substitute for this. There really isn't. The Bible loves to speak for itself. Now, let's look at today's lesson, The Way of Salvation. First of all, we learn that salvation is a free gift and received by faith. These are important words, and the texts that are indicated support this. Salvation's a free gift, but received by faith. I remember a number of years ago, on one occasion when I was in the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a very good friend of mine, an aged Christian gentleman, said to me one day, he said, "I want you to come over, if you're free, on Tuesday afternoon to our home. My wife and I would love to have you for supper and for a time of chatting and fellowship." Now, he said, "I'm well on in years, and I've always been a reader all during my life, and I've collected over the years quite a large library. But I realize that I'm getting quite old, and these books will be of no great service to me in coming years. And while you're at our place, I'd like you to just go over my library, and I want you to take 50 of my books." Well, I've always been a lover of books, I must confess, and my eyes opened wide, and I said to him, "Mr. French, I'd be delighted to come to your house, and I promise you that I'll not disappoint you on this offer." And so, sure enough, on that Tuesday afternoon, I went over and had a lovely time with that couple, and I spent some time just going through his books. He had a large library, and what do you think? Why, of course, you've guessed it. I came away from that home with about 50 books packed up in cartons and so on, which I now have in my library. Well, now, I tell you that story in order to illustrate what our first paragraph of lesson number 7 would teach us. You see, my friend provided the books. He did the paying. And then, too, he did the offering. He purchased them down through the years, and then on this particular occasion he offered me 50, any 50 books that I would care to take. And all I did was to receive them. I appropriated what he had offered. You see, salvation has been provided for us through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now God comes and says, "Now he did the paying, you do the receiving." Now, this gift becomes ours by hearing and receiving what he offers. You'll notice in quotation marks the second section of our lesson, "Faith cometh by hearing the word of God." Now, the reason why the first four words are in quotation marks is because they've been lifted from Romans 10 and verse 17. That is, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is borne out by our Lord's words. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus Christ on one occasion said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." And again, Isaiah 55:3 says, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live." A number of years ago, I was conducting special meetings in the city of Bridgetown, Barbados, away down in the West Indies. Some friends had acquired a very large auditorium, sort of an outdoor auditorium, in the central park of the capital city, and we were having meetings twice a day, in the afternoons for boys and girls and in the evenings for adults, and large crowds were attending. I remember one evening when many boys and girls were sitting up in the front seats and the place was filled chiefly with adults. I remember illustrating the gospel in this simple way. Plunging my hand into my pocket during the course of my message, I pulled my hand out from my pocket with my fist closed, with my hand closed, and holding the hand, the closed hand, up, I said something like this. Now, I said, "Boys and girls, I have in my hand a half a dollar." It was a half dollar in the West Indian money, you know. And holding my hand up, I made this offer. I said, "Now, any boy or girl who will come up here to the platform may have the half dollar." Well, you know, I had the attention immediately of everyone, and the boys and girls began to nudge one another, and I could almost hear them whispering, "You go, you go, no, you go, you go." And I repeated the offer. And then finally one little fella got up out of his seat, and he started up the aisle, but he lost his courage, and he became frightened, and he went back to his seat again. So I repeated my offer. I said, "How many of you boys and girls believe that I have a half dollar in my hand? You can't see it, but how many believe that I have it?" Well, hands went up, quite a number of them. Then I said, "How many of you don't believe I have a coin in my hand?" And I got a few timid hands. So I said, "Well, now some of you believe, most of you believe I have it. Some of you don't believe I have it," but I repeated the offer. "Any boy or girl who will come up here to the platform may have the half dollar." And then finally one little girl screwed up her courage, and she ventured out of her seat and came right down the aisle to where I was. She put out her little hand, and I dropped the coin in her hand, and her eyes opened, and she turned and was about to make her way back to her seat, when I put my hand on her shoulder, and I said, "Wait a minute, honey, just a minute." Now, I said, I said, "What's your name?" And she said, "Helen." I said, "But I didn't say that if Helen comes up, she could have the coin." But the boys and girls all said, "No, but mister, you said if anyone comes." "That's correct. That's correct." And Helen said, "That means me." Now, I said, "I want to ask you all a question. What's the first thing that Helen did to get this half dollar?" And then I asked her to hold it up. I said, "Take it, hold it up high so that they can see it. Some of them don't believe that you really have it." So she held it up, and there were a lot of smiles. And then, of course, some of the boys and girls said, "Well, do it again, mister." No, I said, I don't do it again. I'd have had the whole tent up there. The whole auditorium would have been there. But this little girl got the coin. But I said, "Now, what's the first thing she did to get it?" And someone said, "Well, she came." "No, that's not the first thing. She certainly came. That's true, but that's not the first thing she did." Well, someone else said, she believed what you said." "That's very, very true. But again, that's not the first thing that she did." And then there were puzzled looks on the faces of those youngsters until finally someone in the audience got it. The first thing that she did to get that half dollar was to hear. Ah, to hear. That's right. She heard what I said. Second, she believed what I said. And the proof that she heard and the proof that she believed was when she came and put out her hand and got the coin. The first thing that you and I do for salvation is to hear the Word of God. That's right. The Word of God may come to us through a Sunday school teacher or through a preacher or through a godly mother or dad. It doesn't matter how it comes, but it's the Word of God that comes, and with the ears of our hearts, we listen and we respond. The Holy Spirit then uses the Word of God in conviction. Now, the first thing we'll hear in connection with the gospel is not a word of flattery and congratulation. It will be a word that may upset us. We'll learn that we're sinners, that we're lost. And what makes it worse? We'll also learn as we hear the Word of God that we're utterly unable to save ourselves, that self-salvation is a delusion. But then we'll hear more than that. We'll hear that the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to tell of Christ. This Word will come, and against the background of our utter spiritual bankruptcy, then the Lord comes in and says, I died for you. I rose again. Will you receive me as your very own Lord and Savior? That's what Romans 10:17 means when it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God then is the source, the authoritative source that tells me I'm a sinner, I have nothing to pay, and then it tells me of the gracious provision that God has made through the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood that was shed for me on the cross. It tells me of that finished work of redemption, and it proffers me salvation on the ground of faith. Now, you'll notice that not only is salvation a divine fact in accordance with Romans 10 and 9, by the way, we should read this verse. Yes, better still, memorize this verse. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the next verse says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then, notice, and this is so important, that the Lord Jesus is the object of faith. It should be emphasized, says the author, that it's not the amount of one's faith that matters. Some have great faith, others have only a spark. But it's not one's faith that saves, but the object of faith that saves, and that object is Christ Himself. Were you ever in New York City? You remember when you were there, perhaps, you took time out to go up to the top of the Empire State Building. I remember being there some years ago, and a kind friend said, look, I'd like to take you up to the top of the Empire State Building. I will pay the elevator fee, and I think you'll enjoy the view from the top. And so we went. And we got into one elevator that took us up the first 80 floors. Then we transferred to another elevator that took us from floor number 80 to 86. And then, I recall, we got into still a third elevator that took us from 86 to 102. And here we found ourselves on the top of that building. Now, we could have, I suppose, gone up the stairway, but it would have given us all heart attacks to do that. So we stepped into the elevator, and up we went. This is what we mean by faith. Christ is the elevator. We step on board. Now then, for a few questions. If I had only 5 minutes to live and were anxious to get into heaven, could you clearly tell me the way? And if I were to disagree with you by telling you that I felt that my good life should help, what Bible statements would you use to disprove my claim? Again, are you sure that we understand what is meant by hearing and looking, especially if I'm deaf or if I'm blind? Now let's do our homework under the direction of our class leader. Oh yes, and by the way, we now have an exam covering lessons 6 and 7. So let's get to our work, and God will bless us as we do so.